tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 9th of September, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Today is part three of our little series here, looking at Rupert Lowe's Philosophy of National Belonging, which is a paper that Restore Britain put out last week, which effectively is saying how Restore are going to square the circle there, how they can effectively protect citizenship at the same time as protecting the Britons, the historic population of these islands, the English, the Welsh, the Scots, and the Northern Irish. Continuing from page 7. Restore Britain entirely rejects the idea that concern for the demographic future of Britain's historic populations is somehow inherently racist. If the establishment wants to call us that, let them. We do not care. And again, he says he's not ethno-nationalist, but that's what ethno-nationalism is, isn't it? It's concern about the future of your people. It's just that he's referring to it as the historic population rather than the racial group of Britain's historic nations. Our answer is controlled borders, substantially lower immigration, demographic consent, and long-term national community. We will end immigration entirely from the Third World, discriminate based on the rolling evidence through our forthcoming Red List policy, and remove millions of foreign nationals who should not be in our country, both legal and illegal. And the Red List policy will be looking at countries, once we get the demographic data on race and crime, or ethnicity and crime, then you can look at the countries which are giving us the highest number of criminals per percentage of the population that they are, and then take them off the list. You can have a red list. So, for instance, if you have Afghans and Eritreans being 20 times more likely to carry out sexual assault and rape than the historic population of the Britons, then you could take those countries and say, we're not going to allow anybody else to come in from those countries. That's what he's referring to there. That means substantially increasing enforcement capacity, ensuring that final immigration decisions actually have real consequences, pursuing brutally efficient return agreements with countries of origin, and preventing weak governance from turning temporary presence into permanent residence. The objective is straightforward. Millions of foreign nationals leaving the country. Who would leave? Those who exist illegally in our home, but also those who have arrived without permission, yet have since been fraudulently granted refugee status by a corrupt British state. So anybody here illegally, anybody that broke into the country, anybody that's been put up in a hotel or put up in any accommodation anywhere that's claimed they were a refugee when they arrived here from France, and there's no war in France, all of those people would be going back. That's the illegals. And that's effectively what Reform claim they're going to do as well. They're going to stop all the illegals. It's effectively what Donald Trump has done in America. But the Restore Party go a little bit further. Those legal migrants who refuse to accept our culture, our way of life, our identity. And that's effectively And he's really talking about Muslims there, I think, wearing the hijab and various other things that identify them as Muslims, setting up mosques, any other religions aside from Christian religion, because our culture is Christian, that could be defined as, well, they're refusing to accept our culture, our way of life, or our identity. Those who fail to contribute, commit crime, refuse to work, or even learn our language. So that's people who aren't working effectively, people that are on benefits, people who commit crime. That's large numbers, actually. I mean, as I say, 20 times more likely the Afghans are to commit sexual crime, violent crime. Black people are 5 times more likely to be convicted for violent crime. People that don't speak English. I mean, the reason why Rupert Lowe was kicked out of the Reform Party was for saying that it shouldn't just be the people guilty of being a part of these grooming gangs that are deported, but it should also be the people that enabled it, the people that did not report what was going on. And effectively, it was then said, well, that would be like 90% of the Pakistani community knew this was going on and did nothing about it. And he said, well, 90% of the Pakistani community will have to go then. So he's not just saying that people who commit crime here, but people who cover up crimes is included in that, people who commit crime. And that's going to be a large number of people. Those who claim benefits, live in social housing, and live off the British taxpayer. So that's anybody of foreign ancestry who's been put up in a council house or claims any benefits. He says they must go home voluntarily at first, but then not. Again, that's the PA policy. It's to offer them financial incentives to go back to their ancestral homelands. And then as well as offering these financial incentives, you then make life a bit more difficult for them by treating everybody equally, for instance, by saying we're not going to provide any more interpreters. Everybody is going to have to speak English for a start. I mean, that's effectively treating everybody equally. And that's not to penalise against anybody, but that would make life difficult for people that refuse to learn how to speak English, for instance. Over the course of a parliament, this would be north of 5 million people. And it could be more than that. Effectively, it could be a lot more than that. I think it's got 70 million people. 15, 20 million of those are of foreign ancestry. So that's saying 25% gone over the course of a parliament, 25% of people of foreign ancestry leaving. I mean, how can anyone who is an ethno-nationalist leave the party and say that this is not good enough? I mean, this really is the best you're going to get from a mainstream electable political party. Possibly even more. Following the implementation of both Restore Britain's hostile environment and a far more muscular defence of our Christian way of life. And I think the muscular defence of our Christian way of life would be that no more granting for any more mosques to be built. No call to prayer from these mosques. No large displays of Islamic prayer in our cities. You could ban these Islamic schools that they have, these separate schools. There are all sorts of ways that they could defend the Christian way of life, which would encourage people who are hostile to the Christian way of life to leave the country. Those foreign nationals who properly contribute socially and economically are welcome. And that's probably the ones that would want to stay would be the ones that have these important jobs, you know, judges, business directors. They would be the people that would end up staying. And that's exactly the same policy that PA have. I'm sure I remember hearing an interview with Mark and somebody was saying, well, who would be likely to stay? And it would be the people that don't have a criminal record, people that really like living amongst Britain, people that appreciate the fact that they live in Britain and how lucky they are that they live in Britain, that have learned how to speak English. So those are the sort of people who would stay. And most of the other people would self-deport anyway. once there were no more laws that were going to mean that they couldn't be criticized if they carried out rapes and attacks, I mean, that on its own would mean that people left. And don't forget, the Restore Party are going to take out the bit from the Public Order Act that saw me arrested and put in jail. They're going to reverse the Equality Act and make it so that you can criticize government policy without running the risk of being sent to prison. And if then you can draw attention to these the disproportionate numbers, for instance, of sex crimes and things like that, then I think these people are going to realize that they're no longer going to be getting this extra special level of protection that they got before from the previous governments that effectively meant that we had a two-tier system, and they will self-deport. And all these aspects of the two-tier system that very memorably culminated in the death of Henry Novak bleeding out on the ground because someone had accused him of being racist. And once all of that is reversed, then I think a lot of these people will be wanting to self-deport anyway, especially if they're offered a financial incentive. So the people who will stay, along with a minuscule level of ultra-high skilled immigration, fulfilling vital roles that would otherwise remain empty until a sufficient domestic training program can be fully established. Their presence, however, will understandably not be accepted as unconditional and permanent in our home. So saying people could still come over here to fill these roles, but they would not be given citizenship. And they would not be considered that they could permanently live here. For instance, you could prevent them from buying properties or setting up businesses here. Visas begin and visas end. Vast uncontrolled waves of recent low-skilled legal migrants will be reversed. A Restore Britain government will fix Boris Johnson's betrayal. One area of immigration will be eased: spousal visas. If a British man or woman subject to our red list immigration policy wishes to build a life and create a family with their loved one in our home, that should be easier, cheaper, and faster. And of course, when it says here subject to our red list immigration policy, it would also be subject to them having a job for a start, not having a criminal record, and all the rest, because those sorts of people would have already left. So when it says this, the majority of people that would be benefiting from this, I would suggest, would be the Indigenous Britons. And if it was one of the people that was already left here that were marrying somebody, then there would be these strict criteria that they would have to fulfill before they could actually get married. It says that is positive immigration, and a Restore Britain government will celebrate and enable it. That's a celebrate the fact that it has an absolutely minuscule amount of immigration. The smallest amount of immigration possibly is worth celebrating. Overall, the result will be a simple one. The foreign population living on our islands will drastically reduce by the many millions. Mass deportations, remigration, net negative immigration, call it whatever you want. That is Restore Britain's position on immigration, and it will not change. The label is irrelevant. Good that he's using the term remigration, because the mainstream media have decided that the term remigration is an extremist label, ethno-nationalist label. So again, it's good that he's using this. It's good that he's talking about this. Mass deportations. Remigration. It is a policy that unapologetically defends our islands, our home, our demographic security, and our British citizens. These distinctions make the significance of citizenship even more important. There must nevertheless remain circumstances in which citizenship can be withdrawn. A dual national who engages in terrorism, espionage, murder, rape, treasonous activity, or similarly extreme conduct against Britain will lose British citizenship. Citizenship obtained through fraud or deception will also be revoked. A mass review of citizenships granted will therefore be undertaken by a Restore Britain government. And again, this is on top of people that have already been encouraged to leave because they have criminal records. This is somebody who has a dual national, that has a British British nationality as well as another nationality. And of course, they shouldn't have that in the first place, really. They should never have been given British citizenship at the same time as having citizenship of another country. I mean, just who are their loyalties due to? When an individual has renounced another nationality in an attempt to frustrate justice, a Restore Britain government will seek agreements with those relevant countries to facilitate the restoration of that status, so that deliberate acts of defiance cannot be used as a tool to remain in Britain. Over time, we will seek to develop these arrangements into a broader network of bilateral agreements, providing a workable mechanism for dealing with exceptional cases in which deprivation of British citizenship is judged necessary. Citizenship is membership, immigration is permission. So people that are allowed to come into the country for these high-powered jobs or what have you, they will not be given citizenship. It's already said there's only one instance that citizenship would be given, and that is if somebody wants to marry somebody from abroad. And that would be subject to all of these checks. Of course, it would be better if he said only somebody from the historic population of Britain can marry somebody from abroad. That would be the best. What he's saying here is that if you are a British citizen, you can. But don't forget, if you're a British citizen that has committed crimes, doesn't speak English, isn't working, then you would be encouraged to leave the country anyway. You certainly wouldn't be allowed to marry. It's only the ones that fulfilled all those criteria that would be allowed to marry and bring a partner in. I mean, you can see that this would really result in reducing the numbers that we have here. I mean, it may even get us to that 95% that Patriotic Alternative suggests would be the ideal number. And the people that would be left here would be the people that really love Britain, and they're not going to be a problem. The ones that don't cause crimes, the ones that marry within their own people group and don't marry outside of it, they're not the ones that cause a problem. It's not the Chinese causing a problem in Britain or the Japanese. He says, this is what Restore Britain believes. A government may attach demanding conditions to the permission it gives a foreign national to enter and remain in Britain. Once somebody becomes a British citizen, however, they enter a fundamentally different relationship with the state. This is the reality we are living in. That is precisely why citizenship should not be granted casually, frittered away so recklessly. Efforts will be undertaken to repair the damage caused by successive governments, but the honest truth is that only so much can be undone. And this is the issue, because they have already given out these citizenship to so many people, you can't really undo that. All you can really do, and to keep everybody equal under the law, is to offer these voluntary incentives, these rewards for people to leave the country. Oh, unless, of course, that they have committed crimes or covered up for crimes or are claiming benefits and not working. So there are all these other reasons why they can encourage people to leave. I mean, they just stop paying them benefits for a start. This is a realistic program of government, one that will restore control over our borders, substantially reduce the foreign national population, and deliver greater demographic security for the historic peoples of these islands, whilst also accepting some of the reality of the Britain we have inherited. So again, he's pointing out the reason for all this. It's for the benefit of the historic peoples of these islands, the ethnic groups of these islands. It's not being done for the British citizens. It's being done for the Britons, for the British people. And I don't see why people are renouncing their Restore membership after this document. I mean, perhaps they're just looking at words and not fully understanding what the terms mean. They're just looking at this bit where he says, oh, I'm not an ethno-nationalist. All right, well, I should leave Restore. But you should really not judge a book by its cover and actually look at what's being said here, because I think this is the only, well, it's the only workable way that we could achieve some of these things. And it's the only way that a political party could get somewhere and be a mainstream political party, is if they use the sort of language and they say the sort of things that are being said here. He says, we can achieve this, but when accusations are thrown at Restore Britain, I urge you to refer them back to this statement. This is what we stand for, and this is what we will deliver. And that is really what needs to be looked at. When people say, well, Rupert Lowe said this silly thing in this interview, or one of his representatives did this silly thing, you have to look back at this paper and what it says here, because this is the policy paper. This is their policy on national belonging. It's essentially their policy on ethno-nationalism while claiming not to be ethno-nationalists. He says, we cannot simply turn the clock back. And that's very true. Once the genie is out of the bottle, very difficult to get the genie back into the bottle. We have this problem now. Now we have to deal with the problem. We can't just reverse things. We have to deal with the problem in a way that is suitable, in a way that doesn't prejudice people, in a way that other people will agree with. That's why I say the voluntary repatriation is the best one, because people that go back are being given some kind of financial reward to do so. So you can't say that they're being forced out of the country at the barrel of a gun. And if you just treat people equally by making sure that English is spoken and that you don't pay for interpreters and that there's no special status for people of migrant heritage anymore, they will not be protected from people being critical of their actions if they're carrying out crimes and things like that. What Restore referred to as creating a hostile environment, then these people will self-deport. Many British citizens have different ethnic backgrounds, and Restore Britain holds nothing against them. Many have had their parents and grandparents spend their entire lives in Britain, contributing, integrating, and belonging. They are British citizens, and they are part of the wider British people. They are British, but they are not ethnically English, Welsh, Scottish, or Northern Irish. They are not Britons. And there is nothing wrong with that. It is simply an established fact. And this is the point. We have these people that are here. They're not a part of our ancestry, but they do have citizenship. And you have to have everybody equal under the law. So you can't say, well, we're going to treat the British citizens differently to how we're going to treat the historic population. That would be against the law to do that. But what you can do is you can treat everybody equally, but not in identical ways. And you can restrict any more people becoming citizens, as it says here. You can only become a citizen if somebody who is already British wants to marry you. It says a British citizen, but if you're a British citizen, you have to not be a criminal, not be claiming benefits, all these other criteria. Ideally, the best thing to say would be you can only create a British citizen if you're a part of the historic community, but he's not gone that far. But I mean, you can see that if this becomes a problem in the future, that that is a possibility. And you could still say that people are still being treated equally under the law. They're not just not being treated identically. Now, it talks about the English, Welsh, Scottish, or Northern Irish. It says their citizenship is not conditional upon our judgment of the governments that preceded us. So if you're English, Welsh, Scottish, or Northern Irish, you cannot have your citizenship taken from you, and all these other checks, like no criminal record, all the rest of it, you're certainly not going to be deported. And that is because you are part of the historic population. Our responsibility is therefore both to deal decisively with what can still be changed, and to govern fairly, reasonably, and pragmatically within our country as it exists today in 2026. And that's why I'm saying that's why the sort of wording has been used here. That's why he's saying the things that he is saying, because they're trying to be fair, they're trying to be reasonable, and they're trying to be pragmatic and deal with this problem that has been put upon us by previous governments. Because immigration policy has consequences extending far beyond the next quarterly GDP figures, it influences what Britain will be like in 50 or 100 years, even as rapid as 10 or 20. Those consequences belong within our democratic politics. And they're, again, they're the only political party to be talking like this about what Britain is going to look like in 50, 10, 20 years' time, how it's going to affect the historic British population. There is no concern from any of these other politicians about the historic British population. Britons are entitled to want their country to remain recognisable to their children and grandchildren across generations. And I would say Britons should also be entitled to recognise their own children and grandchildren. And it's only because we have this immigration that you have children and grandchildren that don't look anything at all like their grandparents, because they've married people of a different heritage, and they've got mixed children effectively that don't. So the grandchildren don't look anything like the grandparents, let alone the country remaining recognisable. Their own offspring aren't recognisable to them. He says, this matters to me regardless of whether or not I am long gone. Borders matter. Citizenship matters. Belonging matters. Enforcement matters. Democratic consent matters. National continuity matters. Demographic security matters. And under a Restore Britain government, they will matter again. The past cannot be reversed entirely, but the future can still be changed. And I think this is a good policy paper describing how that can be done. As I say, he's in a difficult position. He has to be careful of the things that he says, and because of the way everything is, I mean, we can't just reverse decisions that the government have made before. All they can do is change the direction that the government goes towards in the future. And you don't want people to lose out. You want people to... You want to come to an equitable solution to these sorts of problems, so that the people that end up leaving the country are doing so because they know life is going to be better for them in another country, and they're going to get some kind of incentive for doing so. And also, you want the British people that are here not to look at this and think, well, that's unfair, or that's unreasonable, or you're not treating those people fairly. You're treating those people badly. I mean, it has to be done in a way that people can see it and think, well, that's fair and reasonable. And surely it is reasonable to deport people that have committed crimes or have covered up for crimes or that aren't working, that are a drain on the system. I mean, the whole reason we're told we have this immigration is so that these people can come over and do jobs and contribute to the economy. And if they're claiming benefits, then they're a net drain on the economy. They're not actually providing anything. They're taking from it. So I think this is a very reasonable paper, and I think it's a great shame that we've had some notable people that are leaving Restore, and in some cases they have referred to this paper, because I think if you look past the wood, you'll see the trees. You'll see that he's using this very careful language here, so that he can't be accused of discriminating against anybody based on ethnicity or race. And he's talking about historic populations. He's talking about citizenship, what we do about these people that have been given citizenship. He's making a clear distinction between ethnicity and citizenship. And all these things are not being done by the mainstream politicians. And I think this is the closest we will get to an ethno-nationalist party. So my problem is not with Rupert Lowe or his policies. I think he's doing a good job, although he's does say some silly things sometimes. The issue is that it's going to split the vote between Reform and Restore. And as we recently saw in a recent by-election, that resulted in Reform losing the election, because if the people that voted Restore had voted Reform, then Reform would have won that election. So that is going to be the concern. But we don't have an election coming up just yet. And Rupert has reached out to Reform and said, look, I'm happy to have an alliance. There are key policy matters that we have to agree on. And Nigel didn't rule it out. And, you know, I'm sure they could come to an agreement, or just have to see how things are before the next election. But I think we could see an alliance between them. We might even see an alliance with the Conservative Party as well, which would be very unfortunate. Ideally, you want to see Reform and Restore beat the other parties, and I would like to see an alliance between them. But until that happens, Restore are obviously going to be a good influence on Reform because they are pushing them further to the right. They're pushing them further towards ethno-nationalism in their policies. And that's the way that they should be looked at for the time being, I think. I mean, if there's an election coming up, then maybe we can talk about the splitting of the vote and we can try and push Restore to have an alliance with Reform. But up until that point, I think to look positively on this and pragmatically, we have to say, well, Restore are just going to be a good influence on Reform because they're going to push them further towards the right. And for that, I am glad. I know, I think we should always see the glasses half full rather than half empty. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.